is the better type of shoe. The imatsu tachlif, and if you find some substitute kamahu that's just as good as leather, kam kein aser, it's also going to be aser. Ubinale gomi didan shalamata chomer sinteti she'enu margish koshi aretz v'lo damilan pal yelachar mistaver she'aser. So says Rav Shurmach, he thinks that with sneakers, things of that nature, I just realized the recorder just started working, but okay. When it comes to sneakers, that you feel, you don't feel the ground underneath you, just like when it comes to shoes, that you wouldn't feel the ground underneath you, sneakers that are made just as well as shoes, Rav Shurmach thinks are aser. Nevertheless, it seems that very, very clearly, that the Minhag HaOlam is certainly to be made like the Pasha Pshar in the Shulchan Aruch, and like the Mishnah Berurah understands the Shulchan Aruch, that it's dafka leather shoes that are aser, synthetic materials are mutter. Nowadays it's become very popular to wear Crocs or something like that. So whatever it is, anything that's not made out of leather, we should try to do something that makes it a little bit recognizable, at least that it's different than our regular shoes. So we wear whatever, we wear Crocs or sneakers or something like that, but it seems la halacha that if it's not made out of leather, if it's made out of synthetic material, it's going to be mutter. Now there is a major discussion in the poskim about if you go to work. The Mishnah Berurah discusses that if you have to go to work, you can't go to work wearing slippers. So there is a heter. If you look in the Mishnah Berurah, actually, if you look in source number 36, in the second line, it says, "Ach osan aholchim bein anachrim va'oskim b'masu matan achra chatzos." Those people who go to work after chatzos and they're working amongst goyim, osan mutarim linol, they can wear shoes. Umehem lamdu kulam lahakel. Says the Mishnah Berurah, unfortunately, people saw that people go to work and wear shoes after chatzos, and they think that even if you don't go to work, because they see some people doing it, they just assume that just like the issur of yeshiva al gavikarka, the issur of sitting on a high chair, rather, ends at chatzos. They just assume, there are people out there that assume the issur to wear leather shoes ends at chatzos. Says the Mishnah Berurah, it's not true. It's only for people who go to work that need to wear leather shoes. But as I mentioned before, since Me'ikar Adin, any non-leather shoe is going to be mutter, even if it affords the same protection and looks just as good as a regular leather shoe. It would seem that we don't need to rely on this going to work heter nowadays. Meaning if a person can pretty cheaply, and you can, pretty cheaply buy a shoe, a pair of shoes, that's made out of synthetic material for the one day a year that you could, that if you have to work, we're going to discuss working soon, but if you have to work and you have to be amongst the guy on Tisha B'Av and you can't show up to your office in Crocs or sneakers, so it would seem that it's worth the investment to buy a pair of synthetic shoes, of shoes that are made out of synthetic material and not real leather. Even though we do have a heter, that heter is based on the fact that there was less brera, there was no choice. Nowadays, we do have a choice. We have the ability to wear non-leather shoes that look just as good and are not going to embarrass us. So that's the halacha. Now the Chachma Sadam, in source number 42, says something interesting, which is, I guess, somewhat counterintuitive. He says, the B'tishvav lo matzinu shiachayev l'chanech afilu b'nilas ha-sandal. He says, it seems that there's no mitzvah of chinuch on nilas ha-sandal, on the iser of wearing shoes on Tisha B'Av. Now most kids, that's about the only thing that we're mechanic them in on Tisha B'Av, is that what else? I mean, they're going to eat, they're going to drink. So what? There's no tashmish shemitah. What are we going to be mechanic them already in? They don't go to work anyway. So most of the time, that's pretty much it. So even though the Chayei Adam says that there's no chiyuv to be mechanech for ni'ilas hasandal, it seems that our minig is that we are mechanech, and that probably just because, if not that, then what? Meaning, so that's the only way to be, that's one of the few things we can actually really be mechanech the children in when it comes to Tisha B'Av itself. Now, what about the bracha in the morning, Sha'asli Kol Tzarchi? The bracha Sha'asli Kol Tzarchi relates to wearing shoes. So the Mishnah Berurah, if you look in source number 43, in the second line, he says, "Vine afal pisha aser b'tishva b'yom kippur b'nilas sandal." Even though you're not allowed to wear shoes on Tisha B'Av Yom Kippur, mikol makom eskimu harbe achronim shiuchal levarich birchas shasli kol tzarchi. A lot of the achronim say you still make the bracha shasli kol tzarchi. Rav Shturmach has an interesting ha'arad. Rav Shturmach in a tshuva, in Tshuvas V'Hanhagos Chelek Aleph Simen Vav, says if you look at the birchas hashachar, you'll notice that shasli kol tzarchi seems to stand out a little bit. If you look at the Birchas HaShachar and the way that they're formulated in terms of who they're talking about, right? The many of the Pokeach Ivrim, Malbish Arumim, Matir Asurim, it's not about me. It's the Ribbono Shel Olam does these things. He allows the people to see. He gives people clothing to wear. And it's people. It's about the public. It's about many people. As opposed to when you get to the bracha, Sha'asali Kol Tzarchi, it's Sha'asali Kol Tzarchi. It sounds like a very personal bracha. It's about me, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu allows me to have shoes. So Rav Shurmuk says, if you think about it from that perspective, if it's a broad bracha, it's just about the way, what the Ribbono Shel Olam does in the world, so it doesn't matter if I'm wearing shoes today or if I'm enjoying that benefit today, it's out there in the world. That's why blind people say Pokeach Ivrim. Even though they're not enjoying the light, they're not able to see, but nevertheless, the Ribbono Shel Olam gives this bracha in the world, and it's and therefore the bracha makes sense, that we can bless the Ribbono Shel Olam for giving this great thing called sight in the world. But once the bracha becomes a personal bracha, right, it's Shasali Kol Tzarchi, so Shurmach says it's very difficult to say that you should make a bracha when you're not wearing the shoes. It's about the fact that the Ribbono Shel Olam gives us shoes to wear and that we're able to wear shoes. So if it's personal and we're not wearing shoes, he doesn't see why you should make the bracha. So he quotes at least that there's room to be mechalik, and he says the Gra and Tisha B'Av and Yom Kippur had the minhag not to be mevarich shasli kol tzarchi. It seems that the minhag is we are mevarich, like the pesak of the Mishnah Berurah, just a ha'ara. Yeah.
But what's the difference? I mean, we're not wearing leather shoes, but we're wearing other shoes. Shoes are shoes.
Right. So again, that relates back to that machlokas. If you assume that anything that's not leather is not a real shoe, which we assume, meaning we're make alike, so then you're not wearing shoes. But in a chinami, if you assume like the chumra of the chsam sofer, that look, if it looks like a shoe and it feels like a shoe, then it's a shoe, then you in a chinami, then there would be no issue over here. It would seem that you should make shas legal term.
But you're saying
or you shouldn't wear it, actually.
Kol tzarki doesn't mean only shoes.
Right, but that's how Chazal understood the bracha. That's what it relates primarily to, meaning the Gemara goes through how we make the Berachas HaShachar. Now, we generally just make the Berachas HaShachar. When we get to Shul, we just run through it. But the way it was traditionally made is that as you opened your eyes, Pokeach Ivrim, meaning as you enjoyed each benefit that you're making a bracha about, that's it when you would make that bracha. Right? That's when people understood the brachas they were saying. So Shasli Kol Tzarchi related to wearing shoes, being able to wear shoes. Okay, so anyway, that's just a ha'ara that Rosh Shurmach says that the minhag of the Gra was not to say it because it's a personal bracha as opposed to a bracha about people in general. That's the one of the issues when it comes to the bracha of Hamapil. Some say that Mishnah Berurah, I think, quotes that if you're not going to be able to fall asleep, so don't make the bracha. I mean, if you're not sure if you're going to be able to fall asleep, you think you might not be able to fall asleep, don't make the bracha of Hamapil. And other Achronim say, and Tzitz Eliezer says, nah, the bracha, Meretz Chaya says, the bracha is not about you falling asleep, it's about sleep. The fact that the Ribbono Shel Olam gave sleep. But if you look at the text of the bracha, it sounds a little bit more personal, right? Hamapil chev l'shein alei noi. So it sounds a little more personal. So if it's more personal, it sounds a little bit more like the Mishnah Berurah. It's about your own ability to sleep. Okay, but let's not get into Hamapil now. So that's in terms of the issue of wearing shoes. Next issue, when it comes to Tisha B'Av, if I'm going to move a little bit quickly tonight because I want to cover as many issues as possible, is the issue to bathe and to wash. If you look in source number 45, Shulchan Aruch says, Rechitza asr b'Tisha B'Av, b'im b'cham b'im b'tzonin, you're not allowed to wash with warm or cold water on Tisha B'Av. Afilu lahoshit etzba'o b'mayim, asr. Even to stick a finger into the water is going to be asr. That's the psak of the Shulchan Aruch. Now, when it comes to tevila, what if a woman's lel tevila, she has to go to the mikvah on Tisha B'Av? So the halacha, technically speaking, is that a tevilas mitzvah is mutter. That, and we assume tevila bizmana mitzvah, that when the zman of the tevila falls out on that night, it's a mitzvah, and therefore it would be mutter. However, because nowadays our tefillahs aren't really bismana, because we throw so many chumras in by the time a woman's allowed to go to the mikvah, so it's not really a tefillah bismana. So we recommend that women do not go to the mikvah on, it's asr, a woman does not go to the mikvah on Tisha B'Av itself. If a woman's lel tefillah is going to fall out on Tisha B'Av, we try to delay it until the following night, until Motzai Tisha B'Av, and that's when she'll go to the mikvah. If she has to do that, then she can go to the mikvah Motzai Tisha B'Av, the chafifa, the preparation you treat like an Erev Shabbos, like a Motzai Shabbos tevila. where you would do the majority, where Rov Poskim say you would do the majority of the chafifa of the preparation on Friday, and then just a quick touch up, a quick repeat of the basic chafifa on Motzai Shabbos and Motzai Tisha B'Av. In this case, that's generally the minhag. Nevertheless, there are poskim that say otherwise. Rav Vazner and Shira Shevet Alevi, and it's put it in the Maram Komis, the source number 47. Rav Vazner quotes that on Motzai Shabbos, he quotes from the Sidrei Tara that you should do everything on Motzai Shabbos, not do anything before Shabbos, and do a full hour long chafifa on Motzai Shabbos. And he says, according to that Sidrei Tara, the same would apply in Motzai Tisha B'Av. Nevertheless, it seems that that's not the minhag. Again, our minhag is, like the majority of poskim, that we do the chafifa primarily on Erev Shabbos or Erev Tisha B'Av, and we just do a quick review of the chafifa on the Motzai Shabbos / Motzai Tisha B'Av. Now, even though it says you're not even allowed to stick a finger into the water, the Shulchan Aruch Paskins in source number 48, if you're dirty, you're allowed to wash off whatever dirt is there. You're just not allowed to stick a finger into the water, stomp for no other reason. But if you're dirty, certainly allowed to stick your finger into the water. Shulchan Aruch also describes how we do Netilas Yadayim, that we only go up until the knuckles for Netilas Yadayim, and after we dry off our hands and there's still a little moisture on our hands, that's when we could put on our eyes in order to get our eyes open a little bit in the morning. But we should not do it when our hands are totally wet. And the Shulchan Aruch says, "La'achar sheni gev yadav." That after you dry your hands, that's when you rub it on the eyes. If you dry, you just dry your hands, pat your hands dry with a towel so that they're still a little moist, and that's when you rub it on your eyes. That's what the Shulchan Aruch says. However, he says, if you have something in your eyes, you have stuff in your eyes that you need to wash out, so that's the same as washing off dirt. And you're allowed to use water if you need that to wash off whatever's in your eyes. So that would be motir. That's in terms of Netilas Yadayim. In Se'if, Yud Beis, Yud Gimel, Yud Dalet, Shulchan Aruch talks about someone who happens to need to get through a wet area to go somewhere. Let's say it's raining. So I'm not allowed to walk outside in Tisha B'Av if it's raining because it's called washing. So no, you're allowed to walk outside if it's raining on Tisha B'Av. You shouldn't walk outside just to enjoy the rain. But if you need to go somewhere, you're allowed to walk outside on Tisha B'Av in the rain. The Shulchan Aruch doesn't discuss that exact case. He discusses you're going somewhere to Lahakvil Pnei Rabba O'aviv. You're going to greet somebody, and you have to pass by water, Ad Savaro, and you have to go through a body of water to get there. So over there, it's literally talking about going through a swimming pool. So he says, that's also mutter, because again, it's incidental. That's not your primary kavana to wash. Okay, that's not so nogea. Most of the time, we know that you can wash only when dirty. Now, next isser is the isser of sicha. The Shulchan Aruch and Siftes Vav, at the very end of source 48, sicha eina asura ela shel ta'anug. That when it comes to anointing one's skin, it's only usher to do it in an enjoyable way. If you bought some sort of treatment at a spa or something that, you know, smells like pina coladas or something, so you can't rub that on your skin. Aval mi sheyesh lo chatat in barosho, but if you have like scratches or things on your head that you need to apply some sort of cream to in order that it should get better, sach kedarko v'enachoshesh. That's not called sicha. The issur of sicha is only if it's for enjoyment. So where does deodorant fit in? Deodorant is, it's not that you have anything on your skin. See, the Shulchan Aruch gives two extreme examples. One extreme example is just for enjoyment, stam. And the other example is because you have these disgusting things on your head that you need to get off, and the only way to get them off is by applying this oil to your head. What about a normal case of deodorant, where you have nothing disgusting on you yet, but it's also not stam for enjoyment? So the Bir Halacha writes in source number 49, he says, Pashut de lahavir sazuama mutter. That if it's about removing sweat and things like that, that's going to be mutter. So the minhag is, we assume that it's mutter to use deodorant on Tisha B'Av. It's summertime, people are sitting in close quarters all day in shul, it's encouraged to use deodorant on Tisha B'Av. So that's when it comes to sicha. Next isser is the Shulchan Aruch Paskins in Se'ifim Yud Ches and Yud Tes, which for some reason didn't make it onto the Maror Kamos, that there's an isser of Tashmish Hamita on Tisha B'Av. So isser of Tashmish Hamita just means that you can't do the act of bia. What about other physical contact? So the Mishnah Brura, interestingly, in source number 50, the Mishnah Brura writes that Ayla Kaman, Sumitafresh says, Vav da asu liga bi ishto kilu hinida, talking about Hilchas Yom HaKippurim now, he says on Yom Kippur, you can't touch your wife, you treat her as if she's a nida, and he says, ve'efshar duha din b'tisha b'av. It's possible the same is true on Tisha B'av. When we call makom b'yom yesh lahakel. Then he quotes the Magen Avraham, that Tisha B'av night, you shouldn't even touch your wife. Tisha B'av day, there's room to be makel. Now Tisha B'av day, the Magen Avraham is makel. Now if you look in the Shaar HaTzion, where he explains himself on the bottom, in source number 51, he says, the dafka b'yom ha-kippurim sha'anash, why would there be a difference between Yom Kippur, why would there be a difference between Yom Kippur and Tisha B'av? It says, Dafka b'yom ha-kippurim sha'anashim mekushatos l'kavar hayom. It's Dafka Yom Kippur, where women are all dressed up, because it's a yontif, so they're dressed up for yontif. V'yeshlachush l'giroi ha-yetzer hara. So there's much of, more of a concern that the Yetzer Hara is going to get the best of you. It's unbelievable, the concern that we have in Halacha for Giroi Yetzer Hara on Yom HaKippurim. Right, we read the Parsha of Arayos because we're worried about Giroi Yetzer Hara on Yom HaKippurim. So we read the Parsha of Arayos by Mincha, unbelievable. Yom Kippur, Kodesh Kadashim. And that's what we're worried about. We're thinking about Arayos. So he says that's an issue when it comes to Yom Kippur. Masha'inkin b'tisha b'av, when it comes to Tisha B'av, Shaholchim v'begadim menuvalim, where people wear dreary clothing and the women don't get dressed up nice, they're just whatever, they don't look so nice anyway, so there's not going to be much of a Yetzer Hara, so therefore maybe there's room to be mechalik and say that Tisha B'av we can take a few more liberties with the Isurim of what one can do with his wife. Again, Tashma Shemitah Zaser, that's one of the things that's Zaser to do, but touching might be mutter because Tisha B'av is not Yom Kippur. V'im gam b'tisha b'av holchim kushatos, Yesh lahachmir bo. But, says the Shaar HaTzion, if that's the whole reason to be mechalek, then you need to take a look at what the minig is. Do women actually dress in ugly clothing? Do they actually not look nice on Tisha B'av? If the minig is that women look very nice on Tisha B'av also, so then it should be the same as Yom Kippur. We should be just as machmir. Af b'yom, even during the daytime, not just at nighttime. So it seems it's an easy enough thing to be makbid about, that it's kedai probably to be makbid to try to stay away from even negiya on Tisha B'av, even when obviously if a woman's a nida, there's no question, but even when a woman's not a nida, to stay away from touching. Kaf HaChaim goes even a step further. Mishabura sort of alluded to this, but the Kaf HaChaim really goes much further. He says, says even passing something at night, you should be machmir about. So I don't think the minhag is that way. I don't know. It's hard to know minhagim about these things. Most of them are private. But that's the Kav Chaim, meaning if lahoshit miyadol yadol would seem to be all the harchakos then. Why would lahoshit be any different than other harchakos?
Separating the beds.
So the thing with separating the beds is that the real halacha, meifra din, is that they're not allowed to sleep in the same bed. We have the minhag to go beyond that and to separate the beds a certain distance, whatever the distance might be. Some have the minhag just to separate it so that you can tell there's a separation. Others say enough that the bedding shouldn't touch, meaning the covers shouldn't go from one to the other. Some have a night table in between the beds. Right? There are different minhagim about how far to separate them. But the real din in the harchakos is not to sleep in the same bed. So once it's already not in the same bed, it doesn't seem that you would have to be machmir on Tisha B'av to actually go and separate the beds. So I would assume that would be mutter to keep the beds in close proximity as long as you're not sleeping in the same bed. Okay, but anyway, so there is this idea of perhaps keeping more harchakos. It could be that passing is more of a concern than other harchakos. Obviously, well, a lot of the harchakos have to do with eating, so obviously those aren't really nogeya. But passing is because of a chashash negiya. And once you're dealing with touching, you're obviously dealing with something that's much more problematic. Yeah.
Shaar HaTzion suggests the woman not wear makeup, for instance. I don't hear anyone speaking about it, but that's what he seems to suggest.
Right. It's what he seems to assume is certainly the minhag. And he says if you happen to be in a place where women are all made up, right, but he certainly seems to suggest that was the minhag. Next, what about greeting somebody on Tisha B'av? So the Shulchan Aruch in Se'if Chav, source number 53, Ein She'ela Shalom L'Chaveru B'Tisha B'av. You're not supposed to be Shalom on Tisha B'av, give a Shalom Aleichem to somebody on Tisha B'av. Ve'edyotos She'enam Yodim V'Nosim Shalom, and morons who don't know, it's a strong lashon, no? Hedyotos. right? Simple people, maybe let's go with a lighter translation, right? Who don't know and nosim shalom and they greet people. Meshivim lahem b'safa rafa b'kovid rosh. You should respond in a very toned down kind of manner. Not lechem shalom. Lechem shalom, with a softer tone and clearly a more serious tone. And that's what you do in order to sort of get the point across that you're not really in the mood to shmooze today because it's Tisha B'Av. The Mishnah Berurah in source number 54, he says, "Lamei aretz tov shi'aduya lo shayom asalitin shalom." If the guy really doesn't know, it's not a bad idea to teach him that halacha. Use that opportunity to teach that halacha. V'lo yelo evav v'zelav. And the Mishnah Berurah says, my experience is that no one really gets too upset at me for informing them. There's halacha. Then again, he was the Chafetz Chaim, you know. But very often people will not get upset. They'll be grateful that you taught them that halacha. Because after all, they're probably going to be encountering other from Jews that day. And they're not going to want to insult the sensitivities of the other people that they're encountering. So they'll be grateful that you taught them that halacha. So the Mishnah Berurah suggests it's a good idea to teach that halacha in regards to She'el HaShalom. The Shulchan Aruch also says not only should you not do She'el HaShalom, you shouldn't go out into a public market. That's also considered something that can lead to schok and kalas rosh, etc. Meaning if you're hanging out on Central Avenue on Tisha B'Av, so you're going to run into your friends and you start schmoozing, and it's just, that's not what Tisha B'Av is for. It's not for running into your friends and schmoozing. What about wishing a mazel tov? So I saw an interesting tshuva I put in the Maror Makomos in source 56 from Rav Nassim Gestetner. Rav Nassim Gestetner in his tshuvas Lahoros Nassim was asked if you're allowed to say mazel tov on Tisha B'Av, is that an isra of She'el HaShalom? Very often you have someone whose kid just got married, someone who had a baby, and you just see them, you want to say mazel tov on Tisha B'Av. So are you allowed to do that? So he says, the Gon Mibachach, Rav Avram Dovin Mibachach, who wrote a sefer called Eshel Avram, wrote other svarim, says, Afal gavde ein shalom b'shalom isha klal, he brings a raya. He says, the halacha really is, you're not supposed to be shoel shalom of a woman, but mikal makom mutter lomer lo lachar brismila mazel tov. But in the most Haredi communities, you can still say to the mother of the baby, mazel tov. Ah, ein shalom b'shalom isha klal, you're not allowed to do shoel shalom to a woman. But everyone says mazel tov to a woman. So he said, you see a raya, the mazel tov isn't called she'el shalom. Mazel tov is just, it's a bracha, that it should be. The mazel tov, it's a tefillah, that everything should be the mazel tov. And he says, and at chasen is also, people go up to the mother of the kala, mother of the chasen, and they say mazel tov. Again, in the most right-wing communities, where there are so makvid about she'el shalom b'isha, nevertheless, mazel tov is still okay. So he says, you see, it's not included in she'el shalom. He says, But the Prima Gadim says you're not allowed to say on Tisha B'Av Safra Demari Tav, meaning good morning to somebody. So he says, no, there's a big difference. Isn't that also a bracha, a tefillah, that you should have a good morning, a good day? So he says, no, that the difference is that you say good morning to everybody you see. Meaning it doesn't have to be something specific that happened that makes you say good morning. You just say good morning to everybody. And therefore, it's more of a greeting. Even though the words might mean, I hope you have a good morning, but it's really just more of a way of saying hello, she'el shalom. It's much more of a greeting. But as a bakasha, tefillah, that everything should be okay, that you're allowed to do. So to say mazel tov, you're allowed to do on Tisha B'Av if the situation comes up. I thought that was an interesting raya with the she'el shalom and the mazel tov of an isha. When it comes to playing with babies, now the Shulchan Aruch Paskins, that based on the Gemara says that an avel is not allowed to have a baby in his lap because it's going to lead to schok. He's going to start making baby sounds with the baby, and everyone's going to look and say it's yiskan el abrios. People are going to look at that and say, "Come on, he's an avel. What's he doing? Why is he talking like that? Why is he acting like that?" It's going to seem inappropriate to people. That's what the Gemara Moed Katan says. So, would you say the same thing about Tisha B'Av? So the problem is when it comes to an avel. Very often when someone is sitting Shiva, so there's someone else that could play with the baby if the avel doesn't play with the baby, right? But a baby certainly needs interaction and needs attention. When it comes to Tisha B'Av, everyone's an avel. So Rosh Shmuel doesn't mention this point, but it seems to me that that's like a very important chiluk, no? That when you're not going to have anyone else to play with the baby because everyone is in avelos on Tisha B'Av. So he doesn't mention that chiluk, but he does mention... he thinks it's just like avelus, and you should, to the extent possible, you should avoid playing with babies. Obviously, if a baby needs attention, you give the baby attention. But you know, not just stam for fun. Sometimes a kid is just sitting on the floor minding their own business playing with their toy. So if they're happy, let them sit and play with their toy. You don't need to go over to them and make gaga sounds to them to entertain them if they're self-entertained. So that on Tisha B'Av we should be makbid about as well. What I found interesting in this tshuva, Rav Sternbach raises the issue. He says it's such an unusual Gemara. What does the Gemara say? Don't play with babies because yiskana ala brios. Other people are going to look at it funny. He says, I don't understand. If the issue is that it's going to be maybe they schok, that it's going to be, you're going to be laughing and that's inappropriate for an avel, shouldn't that be asur even in private if nobody is looking? What does it matter that yiskana ala brios? And if it's not an issur, so then what do we care what people, why would people even look askance at that if it's not going to be maybe with this chok, if you're just playing with the baby? So why would anyone look negatively at a person for doing something like that? So he quotes that Matsasi b'Tosefes Bracha, Parsh Kiseitze, he quotes a Sefer on Chumash called Tosefes Bracha, which if I'm not mistaken, that's the Torah Tamima Sefer on Chumash. We often think the Torah Tamima Sefer on Chumash is the Torah Tamima. The Torah Tamima itself is really his Sefer on Shas/Chumash, meaning it's his way of connecting all the Gemaras back to the Chumash. But he has a Sefer actually on Chumash, on the Pesukim themselves, where he says, Lo Vartlach, on the Chumash, called the Sefer Bracha. So he says he found in that Sefer, Shenaga Bahatmiyo Mesayim Shetzarach Nagar Liashvam. He says he has the same Kasha, and he says you really need someone good to come and answer for him for this Kasha. It's a very strong Kasha. Shurbach suggests an answer. I didn't really fully understand it. Okay, but we'll leave that aside. Anyway, if possible, we stay away from playing with babies too much, because Na'avel is not supposed to play with babies. Again, baby needs your attention, though. He needs your attention. There's nothing you can do about that. Then obviously you give the attention. Next, Isser on Tisha B'Av, Shulchan Aruch Paskins, in Si'if Chaf Beis, in source number 58, Makom shenahagu lasos melacha b'tisha b'av osin, b'makom shenahagu shelo lasos ein osin. The wording of the Shulchan Aruch in terms of doing work on Tisha B'Av is not very strong so far. Right? He says, if the minig is that people don't do melacha, so don't do. If the minig is people do melacha, so do melacha. U'bekal makom tamid hachacham b'telim, tamid hachacham should for sure not do melacha, v'kalarotze lasos atzmo tamid hachacham linyin ze osin. You can't make yourself a Talmud Chacham for whatever you want in all other halachas. You can't demand that everyone stands for you because you can't make yourself a Talmud Chacham for an aliyah to come before a kohen or whatever. But you can make yourself a Talmud Chacham when it comes to this halacha of not working on Tisha B'Av. Even if the minhag is not to do malacha, you're allowed to have a guy work for you. Even inside your own house. Upragmatia. Now he's talking about malacha, turning on lights, things like that. Upragmatia laharviach ulistaker b'makom shelo lasos malacha aser. But business, if the minig is not to do malacha, then business is for sure out. If the minig is to do malacha, mutter, then you're allowed to do malacha even on Tisha B'Av. You're allowed to do business even on Tisha B'Av. But you should minimize it as much as possible, because the truth is the halacha throughout the 9 days is that we're mima'atin b'masa umatan, is that we minimize our business dealings throughout the entire 9 days. That's the Shulchan Aruch. Says the Ramah, v'lo nagu b'isra malacha ki imat chatzos. The isra malacha, meaning the Shulchan Aruch just gave us this whole deal about if the minhag is this, then that, if the minhag. So says the Ramah, what's the minhag? So the Ramah says, the minhag is we don't do malacha until chatzos. After chatzos, we do malacha. V'nogu lahachmer ad chatzos b'kol malacha sheyesh b'shiyui k'tzas. How do we define malacha? Turning on a light is aser? So he says, no. Malacha is anything that takes a little bit of time. Anything that's just matter of fact, you just do matter of factly, is going to be okay. But anything that takes a little bit of time, afilu ma'isa hedyot, even if it's not something that you need a professional to do, is going to be aser until chatzos. Like turning on the lights, or kshira, or tying, chadome, mutaris, all those things are going to be mutter. Good, so that's the halacha when it comes to work. Now, household chores in the afternoon, the Aruch HaShulchan says are mutter. That in the afternoon, the Aruch HaShulchan says the minhag was not to make the beds until the afternoon. Meaning certain things like that, certain chores around the house, we should push off until the afternoon. The shaila I'm getting a lot this year from a lot of people is cooking for Shabbos on Thursday afternoon. that because Tisha B'Av falls out on Thursday, so a lot of people want to get a head start on the cooking for Shabbos. They're not going to have time otherwise. So can they cook for Shabbos on Thursday afternoon? So the halach is Magen Avraham quotes that I didn't have in the Maamar Kamos, but that you're allowed to cook for Tzorach Mitzvah on Tisha B'Av, perhaps even in the morning for Tzorach Mitzvah. So I saw in Rav Gavriel Siner, in Nitei Gavriel, wants to say that cooking even in the morning on Tisha B'Av, that might, for Shabbos, for the sake of Shabbos, might have the status of cooking for a mitzvah, and therefore it would be mutter. At the very least, it would seem in the afternoon it would be mutter, especially since usually the alternative is going to Central Avenue and whatever, and running into people and schmoozing, cooking in the kitchen. It's more of a Tisha B'Av feel than a lot of the other options of what one might do otherwise with their time. And it would seem that considering that it's Thursday, that it should not be a problem. Anyway, it probably wouldn't be a problem. Especially considering that it's Thursday, that it should not be a problem to cook or bake for Shabbos on Tisha B'Av in the afternoon. Now let's go weiter. Sleeping. In terms of what are we allowed to do and not allowed to do when we sleep on Tisha B'Av. So if you look in source 62 Aleph, in 62 Aleph he says, Yesh mi shenoeg lishkov v'lal Tisha B'Av muta ala aretz umesim even tachas rosho. Says the Shulchan Aruch says minig is to sleep on the floor and instead of a pillow use a rock. So that's a little bit harsh. So the Rama says, yeah, v'yesh ladam letzta'er b'inyin mishkov v'lal Tisha B'Av. We should try to be mitzara ourselves a little bit. Sheim ragil lishkov bebeis karim lo shkiv kiim be'achad. So it tones it down a little bit. Instead of sleeping on the floor with a rock, we get, if you're used to two pillows, sleep with one pillow. Okay, that's a little more manageable. He says, v'yesh b'nei adam esimim even tachas merasheim. And there are people who put a stone under their pillow, under their head. And okay, there are some people that have such a chumrah, the Rama says. So it seems that our minhag is we just do something to change the way we sleep on the night of Tisha B'Av, make it a little bit less comfortable than other nights. That's when it comes to sleeping. The Rav Sternberg suggests putting the mattress on the floor, maybe, to make it a little less comfortable. I don't know how much that really accomplishes. And anything that's really just l'shem tanug is going to be us. The Mishnah Berurah says that if a person is a smoker, leaving out the whole issue of whether a person is allowed to be a smoker, let's assume that the slow suicide of smoking is mutter, right? So then the Mishnah Berurah says, but on Tisha B'Av it should be asr because if someone's doing it purely for enjoyment. He then goes on to say, if a person is nebuch addicted to nicotine and he's bugging out, he's going crazy, so in the afternoon, after chatzos, maybe there's room to be mekel. Okay, but rather not discuss that. Moving on to very nogea shadow, I'm getting a lot of shadows about this as well, pregnant and nursing women. So the Shulchan Aruch Paskins in source number 63, ubros umenikos, pregnant and nursing women, misanos b'tish b'av k'derek shemisanos mashlimus b'yom kippur. They fast on Tisha B'Av just like they do on Yom Kippur, but the other fast days they don't fast, but Tisha B'Av they do. Now, the question, that's an easy one. Okay, so tell them to fast, great. What happens when they're not feeling well? Then it becomes an issue. So what do we do? To what extent does a pregnant or a nursing woman have to fast? So the Aruch HaShulchan says that, the Aruch HaShulchan points out, what's really explicit in an earlier poskim is that by Tisha B'Av it's not the same as Yom Kippur. By Yom Kippur, you're only allowed to break the fast if it's going to be, if a person is a chol sheyesh bo sakana, if there's a legitimate concern that the person might die, that's when you break a fast for Yom Kippur. So a person could know that they're going to get a migraine and it's going to be bothering them all day, and still you wouldn't break the fast for Yom Kippur. For Tisha B'Av, it's different. For Tisha B'Av, a chole doesn't have to fast. A chole is allowed to break the fast on Tisha B'Av. That's very different than Yom Kippur. It's a very critical chiluk. Someone just asked me today, said that a nursing woman, and she fasts terribly. She's laid up in bed, she can't move, she has migraine headaches, she just gets very ill. He said, I'm not choshish that she's going to die, but she's really going to be ill. So mistama, it's a mutter for her to eat on Tisha B'Av. Another important chiluk when it comes to Tisha B'Av and Yom Kippur is that Yom Kippur, we do shiurim, because the Isser D'Oraisa, the onesh for the Yisra D'Oraisa is only when you eat a Kadesh Shir. So if you eat Pachos Mikashir, it's still Chatzi Shir Asa Min HaTorah, but it's not going to be subject to onesh. Since Tisha B'Av is Midrabanan, so there is no onesh. So din drabanan. So there's no chilek between a shear and less than a shear, because there's no onesh. What's to be mechalek between more than a shear, less than a shear? Chati shear is just as us as regular shear, except for the onesh element. So that only exists in Yom Kippur. That doesn't exist on Tisha B'Av. Nevertheless, some sofer has a mechalek where he says that it's true that there's no shiurim on Tisha B'Av, but there is such a din of inoy on Tisha B'Av, meaning if a woman is going to eat, or anybody is sick and is going to eat on Tisha B'Av, they don't have to have little shot glasses or whatever, they don't have to take little shiurim, but they shouldn't have a lot of food. They shouldn't have different kinds of food. They should keep it, you know, to be out of themselves as much as possible. They should struggle a little bit, even if they're going to need food in the system, so take food in the system, but it shouldn't be the same as just eating a regular meal. So this is true. A lot of the modern day poskim say when it comes to a nursing woman, if she feels that she's not going to produce as much milk and the baby relies on the milk, particularly the baby has a din of a chola, then she should break her fast immediately. Then there's no reason for her to continue fasting. So again, these are very critical issues. Yoledes, Rama says the minig is to fast. The Aruch HaShulchan says within the first 30 days, he says the Rama was talking about back in the old days when women were much tougher and much stronger, at least those who survived childbirth, I guess. They must have been pretty tough. But nowadays, where women are, where in general, we're much weaker, so no way within 30 days should she ever fast. That's what the Aruch HaShulchan says. Kaf HaChaim says we're makel even after 30 days. Midini Yoledes. And the 30 days count me'ase le'ase. What about a sick person? So as we said, the Mishnah Berurah points out you don't have to be dangerously ill to not have to fast on Tisha B'Av. Even if you're just a chola, it doesn't have to be dangerous, it doesn't have to be that you're a choshish, the person's going to die, but it has to be a real chola. I mean, a little headache is not enough. It has to be a real chola. The person has to really get sick. So then you're allowed to break the fast on Tisha B'Av. Kaf HaChaim goes further and says, if you were sick and you feel that it's coming back and you're going to get sick again, even again, if you're not choshish, you're going to die, but you feel like you're going to get sick again, you're going to be back where you started, so the Kaf HaChaim says you can break your fast even at that point in time. Another important chiluk between Tisha B'Av and Yom Kippur is one of the things Piskei Tshuvos points out, one of the things we advise people in Yom Kippur is if they're going to struggle fasting, is we say, load up on as much liquid as you can before the fast, and you know, but on the fast day, don't leave your air-conditioned room, your bed, just relax, take it easy, don't come to shul, don't be a hero, and hopefully then you'll be able to make it through the fast. That's what we say in Yom Kippur. Piskei Tshuvos says that's because coming to shul and davening, all those are drabanans, right? But the davening with minyan, all that, but the fasting is daraisa. So the fasting is for sure going to win over the coming to shul. On Tisha B'Av, it's all drabanan. The coming to shul and the saying kinos and whatever, it's all the rabbana. So who's to say which rabbana is better? So he says you could hear a svara that you don't necessarily tell a person to sit in bed all day. Now, again, if it's going to be sitting in bed all day or going somewhere else other than shul, so then for sure sit in bed all day. But if it's between shul and sitting in bed all day, so then it would seem that you wouldn't necessarily have to tell a person to sit in bed all day. Now, it's just an important ha'ara that I just learned this year, really, when it comes to trusting doctors about what really makes, you know, what really is dangerous for a person or is not dangerous for a person, is bad for a person, is not bad for a person. Generally speaking, the minhag is we trust doctors, right? Even if the doctor is not religious, the assumption is we're always going to trust what the doctor says. He's a professional. Nevertheless, we have to use our brains a little bit. We have to realize a lot of times when you're dealing with a non-religious doctor, the doctor could care less if you fast. I mean, for the doctor's sake, it's much easier to say, don't fast, because why not? And therefore, sometimes it's important to know when the doctor is just making something up and just saying, yeah, don't fast, and when the doctor is really serious about saying, don't fast. So with pregnancy and, you know, nursing, things like that, so there are deos amongst the doctors, you can certainly understand that it's based on something. But I've had experiences where doctors told someone not to fast, and you know, just because the person asked, and then you find out that lo hayav lo niver, there's no such chashash of a person in that condition fasting. So we have to go in with a little bit of open eyes in terms of, even though we like to always be able to trust the doctors, it's not always so pashut. Okay, we didn't get through everything. We still have all the halachos of tzitzis and tefillin, but you have an outline in front of you. You have all the marmakomos. So enjoy them.